Good to see each one of you this afternoon. Glad that you're here. And we're taking a look at teachers, deacons, preachers, pastors, the ministers of our Lord. And we find ourselves in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I invite you to turn your Bibles here. And this is a wonderful passage. And may the Lord help us in it. A title that I would put on this chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 6 on, which last time we took a look, I think, up to verse number 5 through verse number 5. The title that I put on verse 6 to the remainder of the chapter are The Pursuits of a Good Pastor of Our Lord. Many years I had a brother, a preacher, and longtime preacher, missionary, pastor, gave me some good advice about the study of the Word of God, that it's good to focus at times as you study, and there's all different kind of facets and aspects of the scripture, but it's good to focus at times on the verbs. On the verbs. Of course, if you remember in English, we learned that verbs are talking about the action that's at hand. And that's the way that this passage is, 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 16. The pursuits of a good pastor. The pursuits of a good pastor of our Lord. In verse number 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So as we look through this and we consider this passage, we want to take a look at those pursuits of a good pastor from the standpoint of ministry, that outward thing that the pastor is doing. And we also want to take a look at what the pastor needs to do personally for himself. And understand that these things are good for all of us. Certainly, especially the personal things that are here. And so we're going to be on the lookout for that. Again, looking at the verbs and then seeing what the Lord is telling us here regarding this ministry that the Lord has called pastors into. There's been some things earlier in the chapter that the apostle has laid out for Brother Timothy, and he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. A reminding, a continual reminding. We have the onslaught of the world, we have the onslaught of our own flesh, and we do need always reminded of what God says. We can be in the throes of temptation individually, and maybe it would be our spouse, maybe it would be our pastor, maybe it would be our brother or sister, that by the word of God would remind us. And certainly the pastor needs to remind the people of what God says in his word, about these warnings that we have here of those that will depart from the faith. May we be in prayer to our Lord and dealing with him. Aaron, don't blow bubbles in church services, okay? May we be reminded of our Lord that and may have an attitude that we not fall away. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to be faithful to you. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Man of God wants to be a good minister, wants to be a good pastor, wants to be one that reminds of those things that are important. We've got a lot of things in the world that we think might be good or we might pursue after that would be good, but it's only the eternal things that are just that, eternal indeed. He says here, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. There's a nourishment there that the pastor is to provide, a feeding that needs to be done. He says, nourished up in the words of faith, the doctrine and good doctrine, the teaching of the Lord that is all based toward faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in living for the Lord, faith in witnessing, faith in the things that are eternal. There's going to be an interesting point that we're going to come to here in future verses. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And so I want to attain to that. And certainly as a child of God, We want to attain to those things. You want to attain to those things. The apostle is writing to Brother Timothy saying that you have attained to it. Hang on to it. Hang on to it and put the brethren in remembrance. So here, putting the brethren in remembrance is that ministerial point. And in verse number 7, but refuse, now this is a personal thing, refuse profane and old wives' fables, things that are blasphemous against the truth of the Lord. And then here the wording is used, old wives' fables, tales that are told by women, and tales are told by men too. It's a manner of speaking and a manner of telling, gossip that comes about, things that are construed and built up that are not true. He says, refuse those things. He said, you need to do that personally, Timothy. You need to refuse old wives' stories and fables and that. And in this day that Brother Timothy grew up and Brother Paul was ministering in, they lived in a world of nothing but pagan multiplicity of Roman and Greek gods of mythology. And they're fables. They're hollow. They're vain. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise. So here's a personal thing also. Refusing is one. Exercising is two. What's he say? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Amen. Be godly. Be like the Lord is. Walk in the way that is Jesus Christ. He said, you pursue to be godly and to be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says here, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. And so he expounds upon that, bodily exercise profiteth little. I don't necessarily believe that this is talking about exercise in the way that you and I talk about exercise, but it's talking about the motions of religion. Universalists like the genuflect, right? They like to make the sign of the cross and stuff like that. It looks religious. Maybe there would be other things, or the heathen maybe had exercises, or we know of some cultures that have dancing that they do to be able to invoke certain gods to certain things. He says that profits little. Also, I mean, it's good to be fit and it's good to be healthy, but the thing is fitness and healthiness do help us in this life, but eternally, they don't line up with anything. Eternally, they won't register anything with the Lord. He says, what's profitable? Godliness. Godliness. And of course, within godliness, we have that of taking care of our vessel, taking care of our temple, and using this physical existence for the sake of our Lord. You know, we looked at some time ago about taking how it is that the Lord has left us in this natural body that is not saved. He's left us with this mind that needs to be renewed, and he's filled us with his spirit. And so he's left us in this shape where we have this old man, new man warfare. And in this, our Lord can be worshiped and praised and honored and glorified, whereby the spiritual, the physical, is made to obey and be used of the Lord to honor and glorify God. Godliness is indeed profitable unto all things. Listen to this. This is something that really stood out to me in this study. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Our pursuit and obedience of the Lord and godliness in this life is a testimony. When you get a new body from the Lord Jesus Christ, are you ever going to sin again? Sure not. You know, not going to sin by mistake, or let me say this, not going to sin by ignorance, and not going to sin willfully, and nowhere in between. So obedience, godliness, now, it tells about the way it's going to be. It's kind of like what I get the sense from this is, you and I, we need to live godly. We need to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. We need to add to faith the things that we are called upon to add to faith, 2 Peter chapter 1, because living that way, godly, for the Lord and before the Lord, tells about the direction we're heading. It has expectation of being there. Having a promise of the life that now is, it is now, we're called to it, and of that which is to come. Now, verse number 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. I ask you this question, and I never was any good at English growing up. I had little use for English, thinking that I would have little use for English. And turns out I need to have a lot of use for English. In verse number 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Do we take that and we apply that back to verse number 8? It can retrospectively make that statement that this is a faithful saying. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Well, sure. I mean, that is a fine statement, isn't it? It's the truth. And we having that understanding and having that thought in our hearts and our minds, will be helped by that and be settled about that unto the obedience and obedience to our Lord. It is worthy for us to accept that faithful saying that is contained there in verse number 8. Bodily exercise profiteth little. And you know what? And that doesn't mean that we're just to let our bodies go. It doesn't mean that. Because we know we're to take care of this temple. But understand, godliness is indeed what's profitable. In our fitness or our pursuits of such, are we putting as much into godly pursuits? Tell you what, we need to be pursuing that which is godly because it is profitable indeed. It's worship of the Lord. Whenever we obey the Lord, we are worshiping Him. He's given the directive, given the command, and when we line up to it, we're being obedient to Him. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. Or does it apply to verse number 10? For therefore, because of what's mentioned before, we both labor and suffer reproach. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. He is the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus is. And so we labor and suffer reproach because of Him. Why? The world doesn't want nor understand godliness. From the beginning, how was it with Cain and Abel? Abel was minding his own business, wasn't he? Being obedient as his father had commanded him and as he had received for himself from the Lord, as Adam taught and as the Lord whatever the extent of the fellowship was at that time. We know it was broken down, but then Cain, because remember there, God speaks to them. God speaks to Cain, doesn't He? He speaks to Cain. So remember that. We know the fellowship isn't like it was in the garden, but God speaks to Cain. And so here, Abel's minding his own business, being obedient, being godly, right? He's doing what God has commanded. And Cain is jealous of it. He is covetous of it. Yet he wants something else. He wants another way. The Lord even comes and warns Cain. Sin lies at the door. Turn around, Cain. But the Lord Jesus said it in the day of his ministry that as it is, Esau persecuted Jacob and Ishmael persecuted Isaac. Right? And that's the picture that we see. Cain persecuted Abel. For therefore we both labor, obedient to the Lord, walking in godliness, suffering reproach from the world, because we trust the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. See, those who are unbelieving have no other Savior to turn to but the same Savior that has saved us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are convinced and convicted, are we not? We lay our entire stake of our existence in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, we have no hope. But because of his promises, we know we have hope. And we have forgiveness by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we labor, we're obedient, not living life for ourselves, and we suffer the beating, the reproach from the world. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Verse number 11, Timothy, these things command. Timothy, in your ministry, let it be known that this is what God says. Brothers and sisters, be godly. Our Lord is holy. He expects you and me to be holy. Command these things. Ministerially, teach these things. Teach them. Set it out there. Expound upon them. Make it plain. Understand the holiness and righteousness of our great God, our Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ denied himself as a man of all things for our sakes. Should we not deny worldly lust and ungodliness and follow our Lord Jesus Christ and his path and pattern before us? He says to the pastor, the young pastor, command these things and teach them. Verse number 12, we come back to a personal thing. Let no man despise thy youth. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ was indeed despised. When he went back to Nazareth, as we read in Mark chapter 6, I believe that it is. He went back to Nazareth, and there's other accounts in the Gospels too. And the Lord Jesus began to teach there and to preach there in Nazareth. They said, how did this guy learn letters? How does he have this wisdom? Who does he think he is coming in here and telling us what he's telling us? We know his mama. She's here, Mary. And we see his brothers and his sisters. Who's this guy and what's he doing? That's the way it was in Nazareth. It got so bad in Nazareth that they looked to take our Lord Jesus and cast him off the brow of the hill. The Lord Jesus said, well, that's the way it is with a prophet. A prophet is not without honor anywhere else, but in his own home and amongst his own kin and amongst the place where he grew up. That's the only place. Why? Because they think they know everything about him. They know him from the time, in my case, that he was Jimmy, running around with snotty nose, acting poor and being dumb and doing spouting off his mouth and all that. The apostle says, let no man despise you at thy youth. Just because you're young, Timothy, don't let anybody, you know, and understand, the pastor can't wrangle with anybody to change their opinion. But he says, don't let anybody cow you because of your youth. You got the word of God? Preach it, tell it, declare it. Because see, there will be those that may do so. Don't let any man despise you because you're a young minister in the Lord. Don't let them take and make you back up. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, thinking, speaking, and doing, in charity and agape love, love with legs on it, in spirit, in the Spirit of God, in faith in Christ, and in purity. You're honestly called, honestly serve your Lord in this calling. So here, Brother Timothy, and I think this is where it happens. A young man has it difficult to express his opinion, but a man any age to where it would carry weight. So let me say that again. A young man will find it difficult to express his opinion and it carry weight with many. But you know what? Any man can tell what the Word of God says, and there it is. It's what God says. You see that? And I think that that's where that lays there. He said, let no man despise thy youth. And then ministerially, be an example of the believers in word, in what you say, do, and think, in conversation, in love again, a love of the Lord, love with legs on it, agape love, in spirit, filled with the Spirit of the Lord, in faith in the Lord Jesus, and in purity, which is another way to direct towards holiness and honesty before the Lord. Verse number 13, till I come personally, give attendance to reading, feeding on the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, do you feed upon the Word of God? You need to feed upon the Word of God. I mean, you need to take, and we need to take the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to consume it. We need to listen to it. We need to take the Word of God, and we need to mull it over in our hearts and our minds. We need to talk to the Lord about it. We need to ask the Lord to show us how it applies to our life. Not just a historical reference type of knowledge of the Scriptures, but what does that mean to me? Living here before my Lord, heading towards glory on that narrow way that is the Lord Jesus Christ, what does that good book and those good words mean to me? Brother Mark's going through this study of Brother Abraham. What does that mean to you? Now, the Lord's not going to ask you to take you and me. He's not going to ask you and me to take our child and take him to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. But I tell you what, it does speak to us, as a brother mentioned, and is so. It's definitely so. Will we withhold anything from Christ? Will we withhold anything from our Lord? I tell you what, we've got a great challenge in our nation, in our time, in the blessings of our Lord upon us. We can find it. All of us are subject to the temptation that we can take things or people and put them between us and the Lord. Lord, help us. We've got a real challenge. We need to pray one for another in that. We can take maybe what we've received from our forebears, from our parents or grandparents, and we can take that and elevate that above what the Word of God says and hold to some tradition or something there. We've got all kinds of different temptations in that. We need to know what the Word of God says. Not operate by our opinion, but operate by thus saith the Lord. That's what we need. He says, read that book. Brother William Peacock, years ago, and our brother's gone on to be in glory with our Lord in the last handful of years, he gave another piece of advice to ministers. He said, if you're always reading the Word of God, you always have something to preach. If you're always consuming the Word of God, you always have something to teach. Well, see, remember that message that I preached? It takes the old man to feed the new. We read with the old man, and the new man gets fed. Because, see, you had to walk here today to get to services. You'll have to go home this week and pick up that Bible and turn it and use your sleepy eyeballs to read it and to consume it. You have to take that CD of the Scripture, those MP3s, and rather than listen to something else, you have to take that and turn that on and purpose to listen to that good Word of God and focus and concentrate upon it. And we need it. Our new man needs that food. He says, give attendance to reading, a personal exhortation. He says here, and he said, give attendance to exhortation. There's a ministerial point. Give attendance to doctrine, to teaching. We know that in our day, and it has been during my lifetime when I was aware to pay any attention to spiritual things or those that purported spiritual things. You have these churches that say, oh, be relaxed, it's all okay, we don't have any doctrine. You know what I mean? What's being said there? We blossom in ignorance. Our Lord was a teacher, is a teacher, teaches us now. It's promised that the Holy Spirit of God will work and teach us. Teach us what? Teach us teaching, doctrine, what God believes. And that's what we need. He said, Brother Timothy, you eat that word and you give it out. How can a man exhort unless he's consumed the Word of God? He can't do it. Because philosophy and the thinking and opinion of men will get us nowhere. That's stuff that's off the Broadway. We need the good Word of God. Till I come, give attendance to reading personally. And then you will be able to exhort. You will be able to give out the good doctrine of the Lord. Verse number 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. A God called man is called by the Lord, and indeed it is a gift. The ministers of the Lord are a gift, it tells us in Ephesians, are a gift of the Lord to the churches for the work that needs to be done. The ministry of the churches is not all about the man, but the man is called to be there in that position and in that leadership under shepherd role. It is a gift of the Lord. And I tell you what, a man sure can't do it well if he doesn't have the gift. It's a calling. It's a calling from God. It is a fearful thing indeed, and must be of the Lord for it to, there to be any profit in it at all. Men that pursue the pastorate as a vocation are sorely, sorely misinformed and sorely, sorely ignorant of what it's all about. It's not a vocation. It's a calling. It's not a business. It's not an easy road. Some would look on it and say, well, I'm kind of tired of working at my work. I think I'll pastor. It's kind of like homeschooling is. I think we'll homeschool now and it'll be easier. No, it's not easier. It's harder if it's done well. It's not easier. It's not more convenient at all in a parallel thing. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, listen, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Interesting there. The gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, Timothy lived in that day that there were most likely yet prophets in the Lord's churches. Maybe so, maybe not. I mean, it's some... At the time that we see Brother Timothy come on the scene, I think we're at the point of some decades from the first church in Jerusalem, the ascension of our Lord. But there could have been men there, those there that were yet prophetic, like Brother Agabus. You know, we see that. That's a plain showing there of a prophet in the New Testament times. Also, wasn't it so that Brother Philip had three daughters that prophesied? Am I remembering that right? Down there at Caesarea. And that was in the days of the Apostle Paul's ministry. He's heading back to Jerusalem at that time. Just happened to think of that. But this laying on of the hands. See, if a man has been, according to the qualifications that we looked at and saw in the previous chapters, these first must be proved, right? It said that about the deacons, implying also that the potential men that would be ordained as pastors, to serve to be ordained as pastors, these first also must be proved also. So those that are potential pastors will be proved by their churches. The deacons will be proved. And those brethren, as they go to lay their hands on that man to set him apart for that ministry, to give the sanction of that church to the ordination of that man, there is a sense that if that man's been checked out and the Lord has been followed and the Spirit of God is understood and true in his calling, and the Lord has confirmed that in that time that he has been proved, they are ordaining that man to go forward in that ministry that the Lord's called them into. There is an element and a sense there of prophecy in that. Oh, Brother Jim, what about those guys that have gone bad? Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But this man is admonished by the apostle, don't neglect that gift. Don't neglect that calling, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Maybe there was a man in that day that was a prophet and in regards to Timothy in particular and knew by prophecy of the Lord that this man would be faithful and used of the Lord in this way. I'll tell you what, it gives us some help and some understanding about don't lay hands on a man suddenly. Amen. He must be proved. He must be proved. May the Lord forgive us when we have done so. Verse number 15, a personal thing. Meditate upon these things. You know, We have all this technology, and I tell you what, I eat technology up. I just love it. I love technology. Well, love's a strong word. I really like technology, okay? But you know what? All this technology that we have, it eats right into meditating time. It's what it does. It does. And days going by when there was only so much programming on, and then the thing went off, or there was only so much that you liked and you watched, and you know, as the technology increases and we can have anything, anytime, anywhere, at any point, it eats into meditating time. But we need to get back to meditating, taking the Word of God and just chewing on it before the Lord again. The apostle admonishes the brother, think about it. Think about it. Ask questions to the Lord about it. Churn it over, wallow it over in your mind. The picture, as we understand with this word meditate, is just like the cows chew their cud. That's not really a pleasant picture, but that's what's going on. That's what needs to be going on there mentally. Spiritually, we need to be chewing those things over. Brother Jim, I don't have time for that. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we don't have time for that. We've got a tall order with our children, grandchildren, those of the church, those that visit our church, and those we have opportunity to witness and be a minister to. I tell you what, we don't have time for that. Meditate upon these things. He says, not only meditate and know them, but give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. This goes back to the point here in verse number 12. But be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, and spirit, faith, and purity. He said, give yourself to them. Be fully persuaded of them and follow them, Brother Timothy. Verse number 16, another personal point. Take heed unto thyself, and take heed unto the doctrine, the teaching of our Lord. Take heed. It's very much like hearken. Hear it and obey it. And may the Lord help us, and may the Lord help us that we never think that we have arrived. Do you think that you've arrived? Do you and I ever have thoughts that we've arrived? We know all the Word of God that we need to know for our station, our place, our position in life and time, age, whatever. Do you think that you know all the Word of God you need to know? I tell you what, we never arrive, brothers and sisters. We never do. Tell you what, we need that good book and that word in us continually. We need to take heed to it. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, the teaching. And he says personally, continue in them. Continue in these things that you've learned and will learn, Brother Timothy. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You know, salvation is of the Lord, and when the Lord saves a soul is saved eternally, right? Praise God for it. But in that state that our Lord has left us, we got the new man and the old man still. We got the flesh, the old man, the old carnal mind, the Spirit of God living within, all here in one package in this body. Our lives on this earth will be saved or will not be saved. And it's all directly connected to our obedience and pursuit of what the Lord has given us to be obedient in and pursue. Anyone that's saved, anyone that has their soul saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, it will never be lost. But I tell you what, we've got this life, we've got this reputation, we've got this witness that can be lost. It can be ruined, it can be wrecked, it can be compromised. As one brother, Paul describes it, he doesn't want to be a castaway. One brother describes it as being put up on a shelf. You want to be put up on a shelf? Or do you want to wear out walking with and serving and be obedient to the Lord? He said, you obey the Word of God and you'll save your life, Timothy. And you know what? You'll be a good example to others. And as Brother Jude says about pulling those out of the fire, saving them with fear, hating even the garment spotted, what, by the flesh? We are called to be a witness. And our good Lord for 6,000 years has used the means of His people to carry on His word and His truth. In our day, we have the gospel full and complete and open and apparent. We've got this commission that the Lord's given us at Olmsted Baptist Church. And the onion's been peeled all the way down to the center, which is Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying there? And we are a witness to others that the Lord will use, we pray, to save these souls, these little souls here. Amen? Because they're watching us. They are watching us. These little ones are watching us. And they're making calls and making judgments as they get older in life based on what example you and I have given them. That's just the way it is. And I tell you what, it gives us an understanding even more that we need to be in prayer that the Lord will take our poor witness and fill in the gap to take and turn them unto a righteous pursuit. Amen? But I tell you what, we've got the responsibility. Pursuits of a good pastor. I tell you what, they're pursuits of a good child of God, aren't they? Ministerially, to put the brethren in remembrance. Number two, to command. And number three, in the ministry, to teach. Number four, in the ministry, to be an example to the believers. And number five, to give attendance to exhortation. Number six, in the ministry, to give attendance to doctrine. And then personally, for the minister of God and for all of us as the children of God, it'll do us well. Verse number seven, refuse profane wives' fables, old wives' fables. Exercise ourselves to godliness. Number three, personally, let no man despise our youth. Number four, personally, in verse number 13, to give attendance to reading. Number five, personally, in verse number 14, to neglect not the gift that the Lord has given us by saving us and calling us to the extent that He has. We've been given a gift by being put in one of His New Testament Baptist churches. It's a gift. It's not a requirement on God's part. It's a gift. I tell you what, you can go out here and look in the world. Just the population that you will pass, brothers and sisters, the population you will pass on the roads will far and exceed the number that we are right here in this church. There are hundreds and thousands out there that don't even know about the Lord's church, and you and I have been blessed to have been put right here in the middle of one. Neglect not the gift personally, verse number 15, numbers, point number six personally, to meditate on these things. Number seven, personally, to give ourselves to them. Number eight, to take heed to ourselves. And number nine, to continue in these things. May our Lord help and bless in every way. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you. We want good things from God for you. We can't save you. We think, you know, I was getting ready to say, he said, wouldn't it be so much easier if we could save them? But the thing is, we can't. We can't. We just can't. It's in the hands of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And sinner, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we point you to the Lord Jesus. You need Him. You need Him in the worst way. Repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord help and bless us in His word here together.